G'day, this is Paddy and Rob Palmer. This is our podcast. It's Wednesday, the 28th of October. What a busy one, Robert.
Superb. And how about Tom Cruise? We had him on the show.
Sort of.
Somehow.
And as well as that, the COVID app. The safe COVID app. How safe was it? And how many lives did it save?
I tried, Paddy. I tried. And how about Troy Marcourt? From the council, he's resigned. He's joining us now.
Who would have thunk that two councils would have resigned on Monday from the Central Coast Council? One of the person to resign was Troy Marcourt, and he joins us this morning. G'day, Troy.
G'day, boys. Thanks for your time, and good morning to your listeners.
Yeah, now, mate.
Thanks, Troy.
AC/DC, favourite AC/DC song. What do you think should be the number one AC/DC song, Troy? Into them?
Oh, mate, I've got to be honest. No, I'm not. I'm not certainly not a rock and roll guy.
Oh, this conversation's over.
Good, thanks for joining us, Troy.
I came on here to be honest, boys, so I thought I would be.
Okay.
Oh, well, put a tick in the box.
There we go. Tick, give him one tick. All right, Troyzy. Okay.
Let's see if we can tilt the ledger in your favour from here on in.
Now, mate, why did you resigned on Monday from the Central Coast Council. It's interesting week for them. Why did you do that?
Mate, to be brutally honest, I resigned to make a statement. So I haven't resigned to walk away from the place to let down the people that put me there, the voters that put me there. I've walked away because it is untenable. So I wanted, along with Councillor Gale, we wanted it to be a powerful and significant statement that we've lost all confidence in the council and the Labor green-minded independent councillor block, voting block that's within it. They cannot solve this problem. Every day they're in there, it's going to get worse and it's going to take longer to pay back their mistakes.
Mate, we spoke to Councillor Best yesterday. He said we thought it was $89 million in the red, that it could go to $300 million. Is that correct?
All I'm going to say is, I mean, Councillor Best is obviously, he's dancing with the devil a little bit there because everything's in confidential. That's the other reason I've come out now, because I can tell some truths as I go along now. I'm no longer in the council, I'm no longer in the coup. But it's not $89 million. I'll tell you that right away. The people on the Central Coast are being lied to. They're being misled. It's being downplayed. This is a disaster. A disaster of the council's own making. And it cannot be fixed by the people that are in there now. Honestly, it's the drunks are running the brewery at the moment. That's what's happening.
Jeez. How long has, I guess, the council known about the leaks in funding and known that they were just hemorrhaging money and continued to play on as though nothing was happening?
Well, that's a very good question, but no one knows that at the moment, but that'll come out. But what I can tell you is that Councillor Best, as you just mentioned, myself, Councillor Pillen, Councillor McLaughlin, we all wrote a letter to the Office of Local Government back in September, a couple of weeks before this all came out. We could see there was something wrong. We could see the numbers didn't add up. So all the other councils should have seen it as well. Otherwise, they're blind. So suddenly, I don't know whether it's a fluke or by design, but a couple of weeks later, all this hits. Now, no one knew the magnitude of it, but the fact of the matter is the councillors that are there now have been spending money hand over fist. They've been burning the money that the ratepayers put into their coffers, and they're surprised when the whole building burns down. Well, what Councillor Gale and I have done is we've left the burning building because we're trying to get Elvis. We're trying to get a big fire truck to come and put this out now before it gets even worse. Yeah. We need the state government to step in.
How much responsibility do you see the amalgamation of the councils having in this situation?
To be honest, very little. I can't see any reason to blame an amalgamation for that. The numbers have been put out there for how much the amalgamation cost. To be honest, I put it down to rank incompetence, which could be in individual councils, it can be in amalgamated councils. But what's going to happen, this is going to come out eventually. It'll come to the light of the day, and all the residents on the coast will be able to look back and they'll be able to say, oh, my God, and why weren't we told? Why does everything keep going in confidential, guys? And what people need to understand is it's not the staff. Staff can't put things in confidential. They can recommend to us councillors, there was 15 of us, they say, put this in confidential, but only the councillors, the majority of councillors are putting their hand up to put this behind closed doors. Well, I say today to every resident, write an email, call your local councillor and beg them to tell you the truth, beg them to put this out in the open.
But Troy, okay, you right. Guys, there's the mayor, there's 14 councillors, make up 15, but like... are you guys responsible? What about those within the bunker of the council itself? They're the guys that are issuing out the money, aren't they?
Absolutely. Of course they are the ones issuing about the money. But what we've had a situation where there's a minority bunch of Conservatives, obviously, which I was one. Every time we put up any sort of fiscally responsible motion, for instance, the biodiversity strategy 3 meetings ago, I said, guys, this isn't costed. There's no costings in this. Can we defer it to the next meeting? Staff said, yes, of course you can. But they all just waved it through. So what that means is that's a big, massive check. They've signed the bottom of the check for the backroom staff with no figure on it. Now, no one would do that in any business, but unfortunately, that's what's happening here. I mean, trying to talk to these other councils about that, but is like trying to teach basic mathematics to a house brick. They just don't understand it.
So the counselling group are effectively approving ideas. Anything. Without funding, without costing, and who knows where you end up.
Exactly. Motion after motion after motion had no costings attached to it, and then it would just be waved through by the six Labor, by the two green-minded independents, and Holstein. They just, as a block, pushed everything through because they don't care about other people's money. But the sad fact is, eventually you run out of other people's money, and that's where we are right now.
Troy, will the mayor, deputy mayor, and all the remaining councillors be showing the door at the end of this week?
I certainly hope so. I don't say that because against them individually. I say that because we need to save the Central Coast. I think they will be. And I think a little bit of bravery from Councillor Gale and myself will hopefully push that ledger. I did see the news last night where the mayor said she can lead us out of this. But if she was going to lead us out of this, firstly, she'd tell the people the truth about what the real deficit is. And I've seen no evidence of that. After 3 years, I don't think there's anyone in that council that could lead a flock of ducks to a pile of breadcrumbs. There is no leadership there. It's not going to happen.
What a great analogy.
I love the analogies. All right, Troy. Listen, mate, thanks very much for taking time out. All the best. All the best in the future. But thank you for being so honest with us this morning. This is Troy Markart, one of the two councillors that resigned from Central Coast Council on Monday. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Thanks, Troy.
Anytime, boys. Thank you.
Now, how old do you reckon Tom Cruise is?
He's over 56, 57.
It's, he's 58.
58, there you go. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
58 years old, and he's doing another one of these.
Mission Impossible.
Oh, my goodness. How is it possible? My grandma wasn't much past that when she fell on a tennis court and broke both wrists. Right? He's got to be getting fragile.
But he looks good for his age. All that, whatever he gets done, all that Scientology must work.
I reckon it's the Scientology. Something's working for him. But the thing that's always impressed me about Tom Cruise, he does his own stunts, right? It's his thing, you go, that is...
He wants to do it all.
No matter what you think of him, no matter what colour armband you've got to have on to get near him,
yeah,
he does his own stunts.
He's mad. And,
well, for the new movie, they've just seen him jumping a motorbike off this huge ramp in the mountains in Norway.
He doesn't do that stunt.
Yes.
He doesn't.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and they go, okay. My goodness, you're jumping motorbikes off mountains. And he's like, he was just seen in Venice jumping across boats in the canals and stuff. Yeah, mate, you're 58 years old. It's surely it's time.
Slow down, mate. You should be at Tarrigal Glen.
Do you remember the... that's right. Do you remember the one, the Rogue Nation one, 2015? He was strapped to the side of an Airbus.
Oh, I remember as that. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
He did that. He's on the outside of a plane. All the pilots are going, mate, you can't do this.
But did
you cannot do it. Yeah. They said if there was debris on the runway and something hit him, it'd be like getting shot.
Yeah.
Or if a bird, they were worried about a bird maybe hitting him, it'd be like getting hit with a cannonball.
Wow.
Bang. And they said, mate, even if you let go, the harness is not going to hold you if we accelerate at the wrong speed. So he was like, he took his life in his hands to do it.
Just to hold onto the plane.
His only get out of jail card the whole time was he said, okay, if there's a problem, I'll tap myself on the head.
Yeah.
And you go, mate.
See, that's fraught with danger, that, because if someone misinterprets what you do, or if you go, oh, I've got some hair in my face.
He did. He pulled some hair out the way of his face, and the crew are going, is he in trouble? Is he in trouble? So it actually happened. He had to pull hair out of his face. It reminded me, I'm on the boat with my kids, and you know when they're on, you got kids on one of those tubes?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and you're flying around.
Wakeboarding.
You're doing Mark 5, and they're out on the outside holding on for their lives. And all I'd said to them was, if you want to get off, just tap your head.
Yeah.
None of them could let go.
So you're
screaming, get me off this thing!
But because they don't want to let go, they can't
touch their head. So
you're going faster. Oh, father of the year over there.
Oh, when I stopped, the tears... It's enough to raise the water level a metre.
Oh, that is funny. Rob's boat hire.
Tapping your head is not a good way to get out of trouble.
And Rob's boat hire has gone into liquidation, by the way. So that's good news for everyone on the Central Coast. Yep. Forum time.
And how about Shane Warne's young bloke on the SAS program? He said Shane Warne, he wished he wasn't Shane Warne's young bloke because he was just everyone just assumed he was.
I could imagine. That's
like a young version of his dad.
Yeah, this is what he said.
I kind of wish in another reality or somewhere that I wasn't Shane Warne's son. I just want to be able to do me.
Just do me.
Yeah.
Thinking about, imagine if you did, want to change families and you thought, oh, which family would I like to have been born in? So that
what did you say? What family would you like to be born in?
I thought Clint Eastwood might be a good one.
Oh, a bit boring. A bit boring.
Yeah,
that one.
Or maybe Billy the Kid.
Billy the Kid. Yeah, that's all right.
Because you go riding.
Yeah, I wouldn't like to.
And I just like Dirty Harry.
Yeah, I know.
Even though it's an actor playing a role.
Yeah. 13. Well, I don't know about that. I'd just like to be Colonel Sanders' son.
You would. G'day, Colin from Wyoming.
How you going, guys? All right?
Yeah, good, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, I cannot complain. Beautiful sunny day at the moment. I don't know how long that lasts, but...
Mate, whose family would you like to be born into?
Honestly, the one I was born into.
Oh, no, we didn't want that. No.
Mate, we weren't rich. My dad was a battler, my mum was a battler, and they taught us good old-fashioned values. And politeness.
But what about Colonel Sanders? I wish I was born into his family.
You're kidding. How fat would you end up?
Not as fat.
Too late to worry about that, Colin.
I love the Colonel, mate. And I'll put on some weight from him.
Now, stay there. You can win a prize.
You're
stay
not
there,
Robinson
Colin.
Crusoe there, Colin.
Oh, calling me fat. Brett from Canwell.
G'day, Brett.
Whose family, mate?
Hey, mate, how are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Whose family would you like to be born into?
Oh, David Attenborough's family.
Oh, hello.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, wouldn't he have some stories?
That's just a world-saving family.
Yeah, you'd see the world, and what you'd see would be unbelievable.
Yeah, that's true.
I know.
Yeah.
And do you reckon how long do you reckon they sit there and wait with a camera for five birds to dance the Macarena?
They set it up. They set it up.
Sure.
They set it up.
But that is not a bad shout, Brett.
Brett? Mate, stay there because you could win a prize. We've got Michael from Matcham as well. Michael.
Michael, whose family, pal? Hey,
mate, I've got him born into Hugh Hefman's family.
Oh, now you're
Matcham. Yeah. Right.
Mate, imagine the girls would all just like to know you because of your father.
Right. Fair enough.
How's your daddy?
Or who's your daddy?
You get everyone in trouble, Michael.
Okay, Mickey. Thank you so much. And Rob, it wasn't that long ago that our Prime Minister got up there and said,
download the app. That is Australia's ticket.
Yeah, to get us out of this.
That's the ticket.
Yeah, the ticket to.
And I got the app.
The ticket to reopen. The ticket to reopen. You got the app. You were forcing everyone.
Well, I better just check that it's on.
Yeah, well.
You know what? And then it was revealed that it had some problems and you had to download a new version and then.
Well, last night on Channel 9, this is an update on the app, the COVID app.
The cost of the COVID Safe app specific advertising in 2019-20 was $6.95 million.
The COVID Safe app was launched at the end of April, so that's almost $7 million over just 2 months. Add to that $5 million to develop it and improve it. It's a price tag of almost $12 million. And how many contacts has it helped identify?
17.
Look, the Central Coast Council had nothing to do with this app, okay? But only 17
cases were attributed to the use of the app.
17.
I just opened up the app because it's still on my phone.
Yeah.
It's used Face ID to ID me.
Yeah.
And then it says, Robert, your identity strength is standard.
Oh, very much so. How app is that app?
Use my face. There's not two of them.
Have you got anything, bought anything, just didn't work? I won a coffee machine once. It was a local bottle shop. And anyway, it was missing a part. And then I rang them and said, this part's missing. And it just didn't go. It just didn't go because I needed this part. And they couldn't find it.
What did you do with the coffee machine?
Just threw it away.
Make coffee.
Just threw it away. Have you ever bought anything like that and just didn't work?
I've bought stuff I've never used.
Yeah.
I got fished in by one of those guys at the Easter show.
Yeah.
And he had these brackets that you would tie rope around up, down, and then you made this thing. It was like a block and tackle. Yeah. And he was lifting 500 kilos with one hand off the ground. I thought, that's amazing.
Did you buy one?
I bought one. And I've never used it, ever. It's got its place in the garage on a hook, and I've never taken it off to use it.
13, 27, 10, what have you bought that was dodgy or it never used?
G'day, Troy from Gosford.
Yeah, morning, guys. How are you?
Not too bad. Okay, what did you buy that didn't work, mate?
When did you get fished in?
Well, I brought a mobile telephone, buddy, and there's nothing worse than a mobile telephone not working.
What happened? How come it didn't work? Or was it just you?
Well, no, buddy. What actually happened, it was supposed to be water resistant. It was supposed to be dust resistant. So you would expect it would handle a little bit of rainwater and sweat and stuff. It didn't go swimming or anything like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, after about 3 months, you couldn't hear anyone when they rang you.
I took it
all the way to Sydney.
Yeah.
To get it fixed. And they said, oh, there's a bit of dust in it. I said, okay, no worries. So they get the dust out. 3 months later, there's a bit more dust in it. Back off to Sydney again. And the third time, more dust. And then the microphone went on it. And I'm thinking, this is a lemon.
A true lemon. So was it your house that was dirty? Or where did all the dust come from?
No, just the environment. Just being out and about, fanging it on the road, doing deliveries all around Jillaby and the dusted areas, So
wow.
Just wear and tear,
There we go.
I've had an Oppo phone since for a year, and I've never had a problem with it. So it was obviously the model and the company,
and they wouldn't
do anything about it.
You had an Oppo phone? What's an Oppo phone?
No, I've got an Oppo now.
What's an Oppo?
Oh, it's just a telephone, buddy. It's a cheap version. It's a no-name telephone.
Oh, okay.
And,
I like it.
$500, not $1,300 like my Samsung. And, no problems, buddy.
All right, mate.
Bye,
thanks,
cheap.
Thanks, cheap.
Bye, cheap. Patty Gerard.
See you, Troisy.
Patty, I've got another splendid idea.
Oh, what is it this time?
Well, anyone listening can just subscribe to the Patty and Rob podcast and stay up to date.
Of course. Why wouldn't you?